Morning, everyone. My name is Charles Morgan. Word is Live Ministries. I want to thank you for allowing us to be with you and listening to us. Some have asked if they said we didn't get to hear the radio sermon. You can always go to Word is Alive. That's all one word, wordisalive.org. And you can listen to us there. Look at the YouTube, or you can search us out on Facebook and YouTube as well. This morning we'll be in chapter 14 of John. Chapter 14 of John, this is kind of famous for being about doubting Thomas, but that's really not what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the promises of Jesus and what he's promised us as children of God. A lot of times we forget about that, or maybe as preachers we don't preach that. We will kind of just focus on the redemption part, but there's something so great about this. You need to know why. It's so great about being saved. We've got promises. We've got promises that are kept, have always been kept and will be kept. And so we've got something going on now. The premise here is Jesus told these guys, he's been with them for 3 years and they've, listening to him. They've been following him and everything and looking forward to what he's got to do and wanting him to set his kingdom up. And so they were all enthused about that. And now he's telling them, I'm going to go away. And not only that, there's going to be some bad things happen. So people are going to come against me. Peter said, nope, I'll be there with you to the end. And Jesus told him, you know, you're going to deny me. And so he's telling them this. And obviously there's some problems. I mean, they're looking at this and saying, you know, I thought this was going to be this way. I thought Jesus was going to do this. I thought this was the way it was going to work. So Jesus looking at them, and he knows what they're thinking, but he can see the look on their face as well. And so in verse 1 of chapter 14 of the book of John, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Okay, now Jesus is talking to them, and he's reassuring them, and I want us to be reassured this morning by this same word. And I want you to look at this scripture. I'm reading out of the King James Bible, and I love it. It says mansions, and it means mansions. People said, well, you can't put a mansion into a house. Well, your God maybe not. My God's big, and he can have a mansion in a house. Okay, this is what he said. This is not just a room. This is not just a hovel. This is not just a little place. This is something grand that he's promising, and he's promising his disciples, and by that he's promising us, those who believe in him. And so we see this, and the first thing he said is, "Let not your heart be troubled." Folks, I know there's a lot going on in our world, and we see these kind of things, and we look at them, and we know all the things that are going on. We see them on television and everything else. But we need to understand that Jesus has got this, and he's saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't be concerned about these things that I just told you. Don't be concerned about the downside of things. Don't be concerned about what is happening here. And by concern, I mean worried, you know, to the point that it eats you up, that you don't know how to function. And I'm seeing people like this. They're asking questions about, is this it? Is this what's going on? And is this the Bible times? Look, you know, I can see a lot of this in the Bible, but I can't tell you that this is it. There were times in past that people said, this is it. This is the Antichrist. They pointed to Napoleon. They pointed to Hitler. I remember even some of them said Ronald Reagan, if, you know, however you want to lean politically. But there've been figures throughout history that people said, this is it. Now is the time. Now we can look around and say, hey, everything's kind of fitting together and this looks like it, but honestly, I can't tell you, because God's the only one that knows that. But I can tell you that these things are falling into place, and it sure looks like this is where we're going, and this is how it's ushering, and everything that's in the Bible is fitting into place, okay? So that's okay. We look at that, and, you know, are we concerned about it for our loved ones? Yeah, you bet. We should be. We should be concerned about our loved ones and things like that. But let's not be worried about it. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Why? Why? You know, I can just imagine the thoughts that were going through their head, because I can imagine the thoughts that would be going through my head if Jesus had said this to me and a group of people that had followed him, and he's looking at them. So we need to know why. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God. I know you do. You believe in God." So I'm talking to the people that believe in God right now. And he said, "Believe also in me." Jesus and God are number one and number one. They are together. You know, we talk about the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but there's one God, and Jesus is God, and he was right there with them, and he said, you believe in God, you know, you've been taught all these things, but I want you to know you can believe in me. Believe in me. Believe in what I've told you. Believe in what I've shown you. For 3 years, John starts out saying we were with him. We listened to him. We talked to him. We went places with him. We knew him. We were right there when he was talking. It wasn't something that was hearsay. This was it. So these guys were there with Jesus. Now I want you to understand one thing. Although they were all there with Jesus, Judas betrayed him. You know, and that became a bad name. Nobody wants to name their kid Judas. He still betrayed him. Why? Because he didn't live up to his expectations. He didn't live up to what he thought he wanted out of him. And so we see this, and he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Believe everything I've told you. Folks, we can rely on everything Jesus told us. We can rely on all that he tells us right here. These are promises. If you've got what's called a red letter edition Bible and you're looking at this right now, you can see it's in red. These are words that were spoken in Jesus' earthly ministry. The whole Bible is his words. These were the words that he was speaking to people. Okay? He was talking to people. These were the words that were coming out of his mouth. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Again, he's wanting to reassure. He's wanting to reassure. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You can believe me. Okay? Don't be troubled. Believe me. Believe what I'm telling you. Believe what I'm going to tell you. Folks, you can believe in Jesus right this morning. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you have the greatest promises in the world. You've got promises that death and sorrow and all this other stuff is going to go away. That's wonderful, and we should rely upon those promises. My Father's house are many mansions. He's saying it's a big place. I think there's a song like that, but it is. Heaven is a big place. He's saying it's not small. It's not so minute that you're only going to get a little bitty corner here and you're going to have to stand in a little square for eternity. No, he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Man, this is huge. These are things you need to know. Don't be troubled. Yeah, there's things to come. And folks, you may have trouble in your life. I'm not telling you won't have. If you don't have, something's wrong, I think. But everybody does. But you can rely on these things. And keep these thoughts in your head. We don't need to be troubled. In our Father's house are many mansions. Our Father, this is the place. He's the provider. He said, and he says, if it were not so, this goes back to the belief, I would have told you. If you go down through there, I want you to look. And I've actually done this in my Bible. I underlined everything where Jesus was referring to himself, and he says, I. And I circled everything that refers to them or us. It's you and ye. And there are many instances where Jesus is saying, here's what I'm doing for you. Here's what I'm doing, and here's your benefit. See, these are the things. There's consequences to everything. Jesus is doing these things. There's consequences. We're getting a mansion. We're receiving all this stuff. So he says, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where these mansions are. That's what Jesus is telling us. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you where these mansions are. And I'm going to make it. This is great. I mean, we look at this and this is what Jesus is doing. He was a carpenter here on earth and he's going to prepare a place for us there. He's saying, this is it. I'm taking you there. Folks, that's what we've got to look forward to. We need to sit back. I'm telling you right now, we get too glued to these devices we have, whatever it is, you know, whatever brand and make and model and all that you have. We get too glued to that, and we've got this tunnel vision, and we forget to look out here what Jesus has said. This is what's coming. We forget to look ahead of us. We're looking straight in front of us, and we said, this is it. This is it. This is all there is. And we carry that into our worship, and we're so worried, you know. And, you know, there was things where David would get concerned too, but he would take it to God, and he would say, look, you can take it. We need to take this to God. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus would have informed us. If there was something bad, and you said eternity's not so great, he would have told us. If there was something that was going to come upon us, he would have told us. He told us all these things. He even said, the world's going to hate you because they hated me first. So he let us in on all this stuff. He told us that the world is going to get bad. It's going to get like the days of Noah. He let us know all these things. He let us know through his word everything we need to know. We know that perilous times are going to come before he comes back for his own. He's going to come and he's going to take the church out of here, and then there's going to be a time of trouble, and then he's coming back. You say, well, I don't believe like that. Well, that's the way I believe it, and I see it in the Bible, that I see what's going on, that he's going to pull his church out of here. Folks, there's been speculation about all this, but we say, oh, there's going to be so many people gone out of the United States, you know. Jesus said the way to him was narrow, and there's going to be few that get there. You want to make sure that you're there. You want to make sure that you've accepted Christ. You want to make sure that you've given your life fully to him. It wasn't just something you said and you just let it go, just like everything else that we do. You know, he's okay. Yeah, whatever. We tell people things and we don't really even mean it. We don't even think about it sometimes when we tell them. These are promises made of God. When we come to him, we're making a commitment to him. We're making a commitment to say, I believe in those promises. I believe in you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do everything you've told me to do. And when I fail, I'm going to bring it to you and I'm going to tell you about it. And then I'm going to try to move on from that. So when you've accepted Christ and you have him indwelling in you, Holy Ghost, you have something. You have something great and mighty. So when we pray, we are not praying just to the ceiling. We're praying to God Almighty, that hears us and listens to us, just like these guys. They had a problem. If you got a problem, take it to Jesus. Jesus answered. He just looked at him. He said, nah, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you where these mansions are. There's many mansions there. And then in verse 3, if I go to prepare a place for you, now he's not saying if as if I'm not going to, because I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. There's a promise right there. I will come again. He said, I am going to go just like I told you. I'm going to go. And when he did go, he said, it's for you that I'm bringing another comforter in, the Holy Ghost. I'm bringing the comforter to you. And while I'm here with you, I can comfort you, but I'm going to be away from you, but you're going to have something great. Okay. And so he does that. He said, because I'm going to prepare this place for you, I'm going to come again. Rest assured. Now, these guys were looking for Jesus right after he left. They were looking for Jesus the day after he left. You know, they were still looking up in the sky. These angels came and said, what you looking at? He's going to come again, but you got to get to work. You got to do something. So he says, I will come again. Folks, I'm relying on those promises. I'm relying on the promises of Jesus Christ that says, I will come again. I'm looking for him, but I'm not going to sit back and do nothing while I'm looking for him to come. I'm waiting for it. I've got relatives. My son lives off, and sometimes they'll be coming in to see us. And, you know, I know they're on their way, but I don't just sit there and wait for them. I go about doing what I need to get done for that day. I may need to feed or the cattle or something like that. I continue to do that while I'm in anticipation of them getting there. And the same thing with Jesus. We need to be in anticipation going, I know he's coming. I know he's coming. I don't know when, but I know he's coming. And we need to be working while we're doing that all the time going, hey, even so, Lord, come quickly. We're ready for you. We're ready for you to come on. We're ready for you to get here. And that's the way we need to be. I will come again. I've got that again. Underline, he's telling me something. He's telling me a personal thing here. He said, I will come again. He's not saying I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to have a car come get you or whatever it is. He said, I will do it. I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's what I'm talking about. He's going to come back for us, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, those who have put our faith in him, those that are above, believe in him. So he said, believe in God, believe also in me. Those who have put our faith in him, that faith, you know, that you can't take away, that's evidence of what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, it's a substance of those things not seen. We look at those things, but they're very real. Faith is very real. You know, when, I love it. I almost preached on this morning, but the man that was brought with a palsy, he was carried by four of his friends. And when Jesus looked up, he saw their faith. Is that the kind of faith you have this morning? That's the faith kind of we should have, and we should ask ourselves that question. I ask myself that all the time. Do I have that faith that if Jesus looked at me, he'd see my faith? He didn't see anything else it is recorded. He saw their faith. And you believe me, he saw everything, but that's what's recorded because that was what was important to him. Their faith that he saw. He's saying, you believe in me. You have faith in me. That's what it is. You've put your trust in me. Continue to do so. He said, I'm going to prepare a place. And he said, I'm preparing that place and I'll come again. And the reason I'm coming again is to receive you unto myself. That's the thing we need to gather from that statement. He said, I'm coming again, but it's not just so he can be a dictator or anything else. He said, I'm coming to get you. To get you, I'm coming. I'm going to pull you in to receive you unto myself. Just like I was talking about when my son comes and he's got our grandkids with him, you know, and we go out there and we don't just sit in the house and go, yeah, come on in, have a seat. No, we say, hey, and we read that out there and grab them and hug them and hadn't seen in a while and talk, you know, and we drop other things. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about receiving you. I'm coming for you. I'm going to grab you. I'm going to pull you in so that you're with me. You're with me again. That's what he's talking to these guys about. That's what he tells us. That's a promise to us. He said, I will receive you unto myself. I'm going to pull you in and I'm going to hold you and you're always going to be with me. Isn't that great? He said, we'll always be with him for an eternity. I don't understand eternity. And some people say, well, here's what it is. Well, you can't really understand it either because there's nothing to gauge it against. We can't look at this and go, yeah, I know this and this and this fits and that fits, but this doesn't fit. No, you look at it. Nothing in my life is eternal. You know, they sell you something that's got a lifetime warranty, but you got to figure out whose lifetime and what it's talking about. I bought a tiller one time, had a lifetime warranty on it. I bought it used at a sale. I called them up and I go, hey, this thing says it had a lifetime warranty. I go, oh no, that's not what that means. Well, that's what it says. Oh, but that's not what it means. You know, that thing's old. And I go, well, I know it, but it says lifetime warranty. They said, no, that's for the original owner. Yeah, well, then it should have said that. Well, see, eternity with God is exactly what it says. It's an eternity. It doesn't mean, well, if you did this and if you filled out your paperwork, and you know, you didn't get the warranty card in on time. Otherwise, we would be able to honor that, but I'm sorry, you can't. No, that's not the way God works. God said, I told you this. This is what's going to happen. Jesus says, I told you this. This is what's going to happen. Don't be troubled. Believe me. I'm coming to get you. I'm coming back, and I'm coming because I want to take you with me. I want you to be with me. This is the way it is right now. You're going to be with me. Can you imagine the comfort that must have been with these guys to be with Jesus all the time? I think about that to just, you know, maybe wake up in the night with a question and go, hey, Jesus, just thought of something. We can still do that through prayer, but man, they had him right there. John said, we touched him. You know, hey, you know, Jesus, I need to talk to you. Hey, buddy, you know, he said he's our friend. He's our God. He's our Savior. But he's also our friend. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to talk to him. But what an amazing thing it would have been to be able to just go, hey, Jesus. Well, that's the way it's going to be again. And that's what he's talking about. He said, I am going to go, but I'm coming back and we're going to be together again. We're going to be able to talk. We're going to be able to eat together. And you say, well, I don't think we eat. Well, he did on the after he was resurrected. He came back and he ate honey and fish with them. He said, you got anything to eat? This fly is buzzing my face. He said, you got anything to eat? I want to eat with you. And so he ate with them, but I think it's going to be just like that because that's the picture of it. And he said, before the ascension, he's going to be right there and we're going to be able to talk to him. We're going to be able to be with him. We're going to be able to ask him a question, which I don't think we'll have any questions by that time, but we'll be able to converse all the time and be there. He said, you're always going to be with me that way. So he said, I am coming back again. And I'm going to receive you unto myself. He said that where I am, there you may be also. He said, right there with me. Not down the street, not somewhere else. You say, well, how in the world is that going to be if we're in a mansion? He can't live next to all of us. You know, we can't do that. And that's another thing. We call things supernatural. That's because it's beyond the natural. Because we don't understand it. No, we can't be everywhere at once, but Jesus can be. He always could be. And he is going to be there. He said, right there with me. that where I am, you can be right there. Isn't that a great thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing that we're going to be with him forever and ever and never be apart from him? He's saying this thing and he said, I want you to understand this. Folks, we need to look at this and understand exactly what he's saying. He's saying, I honor my promises. Over in 1 Peter talks about that he's not slack concerning his promises as some men are. We mess up. We mess up. We can't keep our promises, but Jesus Christ promises. And this is what he has promised. If you've accepted me, if you believe in me, here's what you got coming. Folks, it's not what we deserve. It's grace and it's mercy, and it's through him only that we can have these gifts. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we have all of this. He's saying, this is what I'm bringing to you. This is what I brought to the table, guys. All these 3 years I've been with you, here's what you can rely upon. Here's what you can expect. He said, don't be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be hurting here. You know, when we lose someone, we have a funeral, we hurt, don't we? Our heart is troubled for a while, and it continues. It may change in the aspect of it, but it's troubled for a while, and we need to go through mourning and all this. And he said, don't be mourning. Don't be going through this. Because you got to understand a few things. You got to understand that my Father's house has many mansions. You got to understand that I'm going to prepare a place for you there. You got to understand that I'm coming back for you. You got to understand that when I come back, I'm taking you to myself. You got to understand that when that does happen, you're always going to be with me. When that happens, that is it. There's never going to be a departing again. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no hurting. There'll be no more death. None of this. That's what it says in Revelation. But he's saying, this is the way it is. You need to understand this. I need to get this across to you so that you can gather it in and take it this morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, take this in this morning. Maybe you've got something going on in your life and you've been down. Well, take this and use it and say, this is the promises I've got. This is what I've got to look forward to. Hey, have you ever noticed that even if you are going through trouble, if you know something better is coming, you got a little bit better outlook because you look forward to that? Even with taxes, if you got to pay tax, if you know you're going to get a refund or something, you say, well, at least I'll get a refund for going through all this mess. We've got something to look forward to. We've got Jesus Christ to look forward to. Folks, that's the ultimate goal. It's not a street of gold. It's not a mansion. It's not all peace throughout the world. It's Jesus Christ himself. That is what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to being with him. That's it. That's why I circled all the U's and the Y's, and I underline all the I's. I keep them separate, but I want to look at all the things that he said to me here, and it was right from him, and he's saying, this is what I'm going to do, and here's what you're going to get out of it. This isn't a car pitch or anything like that or any sales pitch that may have some catches to it. This is honest, this is true, and this is what he brought to it. Now we're going to get to another part, and I didn't read this because I want to get to this part, because I said this was about doubting Thomas. I want to tell you something. I praise God for Thomas. I praise God for Thomas because nobody else would ask the question that Thomas asked, because nobody else knew the answer. Thomas asked it, and because he asked it, we have the answer. Listen to this. As Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now, this is not why they call him Doubting Thomas. They call him Doubting Thomas because when Jesus Christ first appeared to him, he wasn't in the room, and he said, I won't believe it until I see this. But once he saw Jesus, he didn't have to put his fingers in the nail scars or anything. He fell down and said, my Lord, my God. And we want to denigrate him because we want to think people think that was so great of us. I'm going to tell you right now, people don't think so great of you. And you're somebody's weird. I guarantee you. You need to understand this as well and just praise God for it. That we have doubts and it's okay with him that we take him to him because he's going to give us an answer. And that's what Thomas did here. He was going to get an answer. He said, Jesus, and I can just see him. Scratching his head maybe like this, you know, and saying, squinting his eyes a little bit and going, you know, I don't get it. I don't get it. He was probably looking around and thought, I don't know. I guess these guys get it because they're not saying anything, but I don't get it. And so he says, Jesus, he said, I got to ask you a question. He said, Lord, sign of respect. He said, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? So he's asking for everybody. He said, this is too much, man. This is too much. This is too heavy for me. He needed to know. So we need to know this morning as well. Where are you going, Jesus? What's the way there? I went on a trip with some friends not long ago, and I got in touch with the guy that made the arrangements for all of us, and had a little place to stay that we could all be together. And I got in touch with him. I said, how do I get there? And he, like we do now, he sent me a text with address in it. And so all I had to do was just punch that thing. And I punched that address, and then it took it to somewhere else and maps, and it pulled it up, and it said, this is where this is. Here's directions. Do you want to start the trip so we can tell you how to get there? And so when I got ready to get there, I punched that button, and it started talking to me and told me how to get there. Now, I will tell you, even though it told me how to get there, it took me to the wrong place at first. I had to look up and see it. But see, this is what Thomas is doing. He's saying, Jesus, we need to know. We need to know where this is. Get an idea about where that is. How do we get there? He said, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. And this is something Jesus said back to him, and I love this. People have it memorized, and that's great. It's John 14:6. He said, Jesus saith unto him. He answered him. Now he didn't go, Thomas, son, how long have we been together? You know, are you some kind of moron? Do you not get this? You know, Thomas, what you need to do is get closer to God, and you would understand this kind of thing. I heard that so much in church, I'm sick of it. If you've ever said that, don't ever say it again. Answer somebody's question. Don't just, when somebody says that to me, tells me that they're not very close to God and they don't want anybody to know it. You got a question and somebody won't give you an answer, you shoot me a message on Facebook and I'll do my best to give you a biblical answer. Jesus answered him. It says, Jesus saith unto him. He's answering his question. He said, I am the way. Okay. Thomas says, how do we get there? We don't know the way. He said, I am the way. Okay, so he's answering his question directly. I am the way. And he's going to give him some more stuff that will just blow your mind, or it should blow your mind. It blows my mind because Jesus never leaves anything undone. Thomas says, we don't know the way. Jesus said, I am the way. And then he goes on to say, the truth. I told you to believe me, Thomas, I'm the truth as well. He is the truth. Everything he says is true. Everything he does is true. He gives it to us. He says, I am the way and the truth. And then he says this, and the life. And the life. Thomas, here's your answer, and here's some bonus stuff. Man, I call that gravy. Every time I preach, I talk about it. I say, hey, this is just gravy, man, and gravy makes everything good. You can have somebody that can't hardly cook, and if they can make good gravy and you can pour that all over, you can get through the rest of it. But the thing about it is, God's giving good stuff. Jesus says this is good stuff, and he's putting gravy on there. When you put gravy on top of a good meal, oh, no, man, that makes it great. Just wonderful. I don't know who thought about putting flour and grease and milk and making gravy, but, well, thank God for them. So Jesus puts gravy on there. He said, I'm the way. There's the answer to your question. I am the truth, and I'm the life. And then he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. Nobody's getting there, Thomas. That's where I'm going. I'm going to the Father. What does it mean? I'm going to heaven. I told you, Jesus is God. He's there. Okay? And he's saying, this is what I'm offering, Thomas. The way, the truth, and the life. That's it. That's it. There's life only through me. The way is only through me. The truth is only in me. Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Have you found that? Do you know that he is the way, the truth, and the life? Please give your heart to Jesus Christ this morning. And if you have, just relish in this and read these verses and see just a few verses what Jesus said and how great it is to have Him as Savior. What we really have, and know that we've got brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world that are worshiping Him, and He is still one. The. My name is Charles Morgan. Word is Live Ministries. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today. May God bless you.